Hey everybody, Hero TJ here. Welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Wirecast. I'm here with my good friend Amiibo Jason, and it's been a couple weeks since we've chatted. The bad thing about that is I've gone a couple weeks without chatting with my best buddy Amiibo Jason, but the good news is there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, there is. Also, hi. It's nice to be back. I mean, it's only been about 2 weeks, so it's not too bad. I think our record for not doing a podcast was near a month.
Was it really?
I think it was. And totally my fault. Like, my schedule was not great. But that being said, I mean, it is good to be back. We had a Nintendo Direct, which I'm doing air quotes, so we have that to talk about.
Yes.
Mario Kart Tour is getting an update that I want to get your feedback on.
I've been pretty tapped out on Mario Kart. I used to follow the updates pretty closely even after I stopped playing, but I'll be curious to hear about this one.
Yeah.
Also, Paper Mario released.
It did.
Which you did not pick up.
I did not pick it up.
And I did pick up, and this is the first one I've played since A Thousand Year Door, and you are currently playing A Thousand Year Door.
That's right. And I want to point out, I did not pick it up for any kind of, I don't know, reason. There's not like an ulterior motive here. I just
don't want to
cross your door first.
Yeah, yeah. No apology necessary. You don't want to cross-contaminate your paper.
Very true. I can't. You can't do that. I mean,
no.
I have never played two RPGs at the same time, even though I'm not sure if you can call this one an RPG. I mean, it's close. Cadence of Hyrule got a big update, and a physical release is coming up for that one, so I'm curious to see your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
And we have some life news to share, too. So,
ooh, exciting.
I will quickly kick it off with something I've wanted to kind of touch base on for a bit, and that is the state of the Nintendo Wire YouTube channel. And it's something that I've wanted to bring up for a bit, because if you're a fan of the Nintendo Wire YouTube channel, you might have noticed it's been a bit more quiet. We never go longer than a week without posting something. So we put content up regularly, but we were putting content up 5 to 6 days a week at one point. But I'll just be very, very, I don't know, candid with you. The COVID-19 situation has made things more complicated for me. I sit in this office where I am right now recording this podcast about 10 plus hours a day, maybe 12, because I do Nintendo Wire from here. I do my 9-to-5 from here. I mean, I do pretty much everything from here. So the ability to make constant like YouTube videos is just not something that I could handle, number one, mentally, and number two, physically. Also, there are so many other amazing channels out there that they're doing this as their full-time job, and they can put out videos about, you know, breaking news almost instantly, and I don't have that luxury to do that anymore. I have to work a full-time job. So by the time I did get the news out, in the terms of like internet news, it was 100 years old, even though it was just like 5 hours old. So I did come to the conclusion that continuing with the Nintendo Wiretap, even though it was a very hard choice, doesn't really make a lot of sense, at least in its current state. And it's weird because I was doing the Nintendo Wiretap for 3+ years. I mean, I think we had like 430 episodes last time I checked.
Wow.
Which is a lot. I mean, yeah, I'm happy with what we got to do with the Wiretap, and I'm curious to evolve it over time, but it's definitely not in the cards to do it on a regular basis. But what I have been doing is working with my team, the amazing Tom Brown, who you might know from our DMake series. He is whipping up some really cool content that's coming out very soon, and we're working on a regular schedule for his content. And again, that's going to be DMakes, our timeline series, things like that. I'm also editing two videos right now, and they're going to be revolving around retro gaming. Retro gaming is my passion. It's my absolute favorite thing to do in the world. Retro Nintendo is my favorite thing ever. And I have a couple videos to kind of go over some really cool things in the retro community, so we have that coming too. We're going to be putting up trailers and things like that for big stories, and yes, from time to time we'll do breaking news as well. I think finally the Nintendo Wirecast, this show, is going to be on YouTube as well on a regular basis. My goal is to put it up every either Friday or Saturday on the YouTube channel. I think Friday probably makes the most sense. So you should be able to expect to see this show on YouTube. So
cheer and rejoice, everyone.
For sure. So I do want people to know that, yes, it has been more quiet, but I think everybody's life is kind of upside down to a certain degree right now.
Totally.
So again, I think for my sanity and my physical health and my mental health, like the entire thing, I think taking the break that I took was absolutely necessary. So getting back into it's going to be, I think, a challenge, especially with the lack of Nintendo news that's been coming out lately. But we're going to definitely do our best. So stay tuned. The channel is not dead and we continue to move along. So that's my quick update on the Nintendo Wire YouTube channel.
Nice.
Thank you.
Well, it's good. I'm glad that everyone's sticking around and I'm excited to see what's coming next.
Rock and roll. Anything new with you, by the way, besides Paper Mario?
I've been working a lot more in Taiwan, which is interesting.
As a model. Look at this stud.
Yeah, as a model. So it's fun, but it's also very different than the scene in California, where I previously lived and worked. And it's just fun to do. Most of my work has been fitness related, which is kind of where my passion is. So I get to try out new exercise equipment and new sports support type apparel and things of that nature. And because it's action oriented, it really excites me. So I'm not bored about it. And it's fun to challenge myself. And the days are typically very long. So it's a lot more than you would do in a normal workout, for example. But
do they oil
also
you
some
up?
Really, yeah,
you get
did,
oiled
actually.
Up. Yeah,
I did. And the last one I did, but it's fun. And there's a couple more already on the horizon and I'm auditioning a lot more, which is strange in a lot of ways because I'm almost 40 and I'm 100% illiterate, which is a really odd experience to go from being able to read anything you see to not recognizing a single character. And a lot of my auditions are not in my native language and my Mandarin is very, very limited. So for me to understand what people are saying, people are a little bit more accustomed, I think, to interacting with people who don't have the language, but I'm less accustomed to being in that position where I don't understand the language. Yeah. And so taking direction. This is my first time taking direction from somebody who didn't speak the same language as me, which meant I was generally getting directions from production assistants who were translating what the director was saying, and everything still went really, really smooth. So it was a lot of fun, and I appreciate the opportunities that are coming my way, and I'm excited to see whatever else comes.
That is so exciting.
It's been fun.
What would you say your favorite thing that you've done so far there is?
There's this company out here that primarily they do apparel, but they primarily specialize in support for athletes, things that allow athletes to rehabilitate through injury or injury prevention and that type of stuff. Yeah. And when I went to the audition, there were a lot of different aspects to it, like basketball and weightlifting and martial arts and sprinting. And they auditioned a lot of models. So I got cast on that and I was assuming that they were bringing me in for the bag work because I am very experienced in Taekwondo and I do boxing and Muay Thai and some other stuff that would make me well suited to that particular vignette. But then I realized on the day that I was the only model they hired. So that meant I was doing every setup. So I was moving from basketball to sprinting to weight training to running up and down stairs and all this different stuff. And it was like a 12-hour day of just physical challenge after physical challenge getting thrown at me. And it was so awesome. I'm all about that kind of stuff.
Well, good thing you had Ring Fit.
All right, let's do this.
To like
Ring Fit
get you
prepared me. If it wasn't for my 8-hour Ring Fit marathons, I don't know that I would have had what it took to be able to get through this day.
Nintendo
it prepared my mind.
Needs to hire you.
It prepared my mind for my real work, my real life modeling challenges. Yeah, but it was great because posing for pictures doesn't really excite me.
Yeah.
But doing action-oriented challenges does. And so this kind of was the perfect job for me. And I feel like I was able to produce good, honest work for these people because I have a lot of experience doing all of the things that they needed me to do. So I felt like I was able to help them make their day by not needing to be explained how to perform certain exercises that they needed because I've been doing them for 15, 20 years. So I know how that kind of stuff goes. So it was just an awesome time.
Sounds like it. My job is nowhere near that exciting. But hey, we can't all be amazing globetrotters like you.
There's also some weird stuff though. My last job was pretty unusual.
Oh yeah.
I got hired to play a fake British executive for the Asian branch of a jeans company that's actually a Japanese company, as I understand it, and selling it on the Taiwanese shopping network. So my job was to come in and introduce a new shade to these pants, and also to kind of coyly protest when the host suggested that we do a discount price.
So,
and then when she asked me a fake
British accent?
And it was interesting too because I show up on the day and I didn't audition for this. They just hired me off my look. So I show up on the day and I had 90 seconds of prep.
Oh my God. They
just told me all of this information. You're TJ, you're from the UK, I don't know how much of this I'm allowed to say. Like point about these pants, all the proprietary information, the other thing. And I'm like, okay, it's go time. Let's go. And in America, I've done live television before. Oftentimes it's live to tape where you shoot it live, but then the editors get to play with it for a little bit and it airs it sometime in the future. Also, if you do real live TV in America, most people know that there's a 7-second delay.
Yeah.
Here, it's live to broadcast. So it's live to live. As it's happening, it's on TV. So people were watching me in real time, and she told me I was TJ from the UK. Americans can easily identify the difference between an American accent and an English accent.
Not so much in Taiwan.
I don't know if they can or not. So I affected an English accent because it would be very odd and inappropriate sounding for me to be using my standard American. So my friends who were watching it, who didn't know that I was playing a British character, were like, oh, why is he doing a British accent? And they didn't know if it was a choice that I made or if it was something on the show.
Please tell me you have a recording of this.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is recorded.
Can you send it to me?
I can send it to you.
Yes! Oh, my day's made. You know what? Screw the Nintendo news. We're just talking about your modeling career. Modeling with TJ weekly on Nintendo Wire.
No, it's fun to do. And like I said, I'm happy for the opportunity because it's so different. It's just such a different thing.
I cannot wait to see this video. Like, I cannot wait. My whole family loves you. Like, they all just adore you, especially your shirtless pictures. They like those the most. But yeah, they're gonna love this.
Well, I'm very flattered. I love your family too.
Well, TJ, ready to talk about the Nintendo news?
Let's do it. You want to start with that epic Nintendo Direct?
Yeah, you know. Let me talk about one quick thing first. I do want to talk about the Mario Kart Tour update. Because I want your opinion on it. So Mario Kart Tour is getting a widescreen update. So instead of playing it vertically, you can now play it horizontally, and it looks more like Mario Kart that you play on the Switch. And it looks kind of gorgeous. Like, it looks really, really good. As far as how it plays, I'm very used to playing Mario Kart Tour in landscape mode, so I haven't played this yet. I think it's out. I think the update came out yesterday. But is that enough to get you to come out of Mario Kart Tour retirement to try it again?
Yeah, it's enough to get me to look at it. My interests are definitely piqued. I've always wondered if vertical was the best presentation for this game, and I'm curious to see how that's going to play in widescreen. At least enough to try it. Yeah. I don't know that it's going to like reinvigorate my passion for the mobile racing scene, but it certainly is enough to get me to want to try it out.
Yeah, it looks more cinematic. It looks more, I don't know, it just looks better to me when I've seen the gameplay. So this is a very, very quick story. I just wanted to get your thoughts on widescreen Mario Kart Tour and if it's enough to get you to come out of retirement. I haven't re-downloaded it yet, but I was going to base my decision off of your impression of this news.
Well, have you ever felt like when you're playing it that it kind of was like player two mode in or multiplayer mode from the console version? Because in the console, you generally have that widescreen presentation, yeah. even when we're still in a 4x3 aspect ratio, 3x4, you still had generally a widescreen presentation versus when you're in two-player mode and it gives you the split screen.
Yeah.
Does the split screen go... I can't remember now that I'm thinking about it, because I might be confusing it with Hyrule Warriors. Hyrule Warriors puts the split screen right across the center of the television in a horizontal line, so you only have the widescreen. But in Mario Kart, it splits it vertically,
yeah, it
right?
does. It goes straight down the middle for Mario Kart, unless you have four players. So, yeah, I can see that for sure. It kind of looks like they squish it a little bit
in
Mario
do.
Kart Switch, but... Yeah, I kind of get that impression too. But
so this might be like going back to what more of what a one player feels like.
Yeah.
You get to see more of the track ahead. Maybe they did it originally vertically because they want you to be able to play it one handed.
Yeah.
Which I never really did myself anyway, did you?
I never did. I mean, my phone is huge. Like I can't play anything one handed on that phone.
Right. Right.
I mean, games like Mario Run seem to work a little bit better for that kind of thing, but
totally.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. I mean, the fact that they're not forcing it on you, that it's not like a mandatory update, I think it's a good thing to give people the options. I wish they gave you the options of like a full-on controller, but at that point, why not just play Mario Kart on Switch? So,
you know, I will say this for Mario Kart Tour. I have the three kids, as you know,
yeah.
7, 5, and 3, and two of my kids are in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu at the gym that I go to. And my youngest is too young to take it, but I need to bring him with me. And Mario Kart Tour has been very effective at occupying him for the 50 minutes that my other kids are taking the class.
Yeah.
So I still have been using the app, even though I myself am not playing it. My kid can get some meaningful entertainment out of it a couple times a week.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a fun game for what it is. And the fact that you get that much content for potentially not paying anything... I think it's worth it, for sure.
Yeah, I haven't put a cent in it, not 1 cent.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I did.
Oh, no, I lied.
You had
I
the
lied.
Gold pass.
I totally lied. I had the gold pass. I didn't buy any of the poles, the pipe poles. No pipe pulling for me. It was too reminiscent of the summoning from...
Fire Emblem?
Fire Emblem Heroes.
Yeah.
Which was unbelievably criminal.
So have you heard the... It's not a rumor... There was a Nintendo shareholders meeting not too long ago, and the topic of mobile gaming came up. And after the success of Animal Crossing New Horizons, and maybe, did we talk about this already? We might have at some point. But Nintendo said that they were planning on dialing back a bit on their mobile kind of strategy with the success of Animal Crossing New Horizons. So... I mean, maybe we're not going to see a whole lot more games from Nintendo coming out on mobile.
Yeah, that's okay, because I feel like Nintendo was kind of strong-armed into it because they needed to diversify their revenue streams in the wake of a failing Wii U. But with the Switch being as successful as it is, they're in more of a position of power where they don't really need to lean on the mobile to impress or placate investors.
Yeah.
They could say, look at the Switch. We don't really need this so much. And I saw a couple charts that showed dwindling sales. I know they're still making money off of these mobile apps, so they're not going to disappear. But are they going to pour a lot of R&D into making new ones when they could just spend that making Switch games? I think that's probably what we'll see more of, is maybe they'll scale back.
Yeah.
They did announce that Zelda one some time ago, which I was both excited for and also dreading, because I know that that's a game that could easily suck me in and get me to pay money hand over fist on a consistent basis if it has a good enough game loop to make me keep coming back. I love Zelda, but I'm not so in love with Zelda that I need to have every Zelda thing. It has to also be good. Yeah. I love Zelda because of what makes it good, not because it's Zelda. And if they could somehow achieve the semblance of a Zelda experience on a mobile game, I'm in. But I would rather it be something like Mario Run, yeah. which you buy it and then you have it. But I doubt they would, because that was the most unsuccessful of all of their experimental models yeah. for games. And unfortunately, the ones that are the most successful are the ones that are the most predatory. Yeah. So,
I mean, they do what sells, and I get it. I mean, I guess at this point with Mario and Zelda, and maybe Animal Crossing now too, to a certain degree, I feel like Nintendo can't go too far in one direction, or else they risk tainting their brand. Right. And Zelda is their Zelda's going to be around longer than we are. Mm-hmm. Same as Mario. Mario, so I too. Can't imagine Nintendo taking too many risks with them in the mobile scape, but who knows? But either way, yeah. Mario Kart Tour yeah. widescreen update is apparently out now. I'll have to check that out later. All right, on to the Direct.
Yeah, let's start off with some predictions that a friend of mine laid out. Bayonetta 3 update.
Oh,
Metroid Prime 4 update. A 30th anniversary Mario announcement. Maybe a Smash tease.
I'd like to say that my 100% incorrect strategy or what's the word I'm looking for? Streak is still 100% intact. Man,
as soon as I saw that, I was like, "Oh, my poor friend." I'm so, as always, I'm so inspired by your optimism. But
I expected at bare minimum Bayonetta. At bare minimum, I expected Bayonetta. For what we got. If you're a Shin Megami Tensei fan, I mean, you are over the moon with this Direct Mini, because we had news.
Yeah, all three of you are so excited. I'm very happy for all three of you that you got that
exciting. There's some pretty big Shin Megami Tensei fans, and they.
Oh, I know it.
We found out three. And it's probably HD remaster. We got our first little mini look at 5. Not our first, but another look at 5. Besides that, I mean, Cadence of Hyrule's getting an update. It's getting a physical release. A bunch of new music.
Did you play Cadence of
Hyrule? I did. But here's the thing. I got it. It got shadow dropped at PAX.
Yeah.
And I was at that PAX that it got shadow dropped on. So I bought the game, and I played it on the airplane home. And my ears were popping like crazy. So I just stopped playing, and I never came back to it. So now that this update's out, I'm going to go back and start it over. Rhythm games are my jam. I love games like Theatrhythm, Rhythm, which is a Final Fantasy rhythm game on 3DS. There's a Kingdom Hearts rhythm game coming out soon for the Switch, which I don't think we ever talked about on the Wirecast.
We did not.
But I'm excited for that. DDR was my favorite game in high school. I played DDR.
And you are unbelievably good at it. Well, unbelievably good at it. I would not believe you are as good at that game as you are had I not witnessed it with my own eyes.
I was not in peak performance during that either. I mean, I'm getting older, so DDR is getting tougher and tougher. But rhythm games are a fun thing, and Zelda's in my top 5 favorite video game things ever, if not top 2. So the combination of the two, it just makes a lot of sense. I will go back and give it another shot. I think I owe it to that game to do that. But I did only get to play it for maybe about 45 minutes.
I like rhythm games. I really liked Guitar Hero, and I really like Rhythm Heaven.
Yeah.
But I have to say, and Zelda's my number one by far, far and away my favorite of all series. I bounced right off Cadence of Hyrule.
Yeah.
I kind of forced, from the first 10 minutes of playing it, I was like, ooh, I think I hate this game. And then the more I played it, the more I came to hate it. And the more I came to kind of resent it. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with the game. It's just that the game doesn't appeal to my gaming sensibilities. It doesn't like spark that fun. It doesn't push the fun button for me.
Yeah.
It's just really frustrating. It pushes the frustrating button. And I did kind of just jam my way all the way to the final boss. And I could beat the final boss, but I just don't feel like it because I don't like the game at all. And so I look at the update, and what I will say is I would way rather just buy the soundtrack, because the music is popping. The music is amazing. I love hearing those remixes of those popular Zelda songs that I love. And I also think it's cool that they gave you these new playable characters. You have Impa, who's brand new, yeah. and somewhere off in the future, you're going to get to play a Skull Kid, which is kind of amazing. You also get variations on Link and Zelda, so like a Shadow Link. Did they also have like Dark Zelda or Shadow Zelda?
I don't know.
I think I wish so. I knew. I know they have an alternate version of Zelda. I think it's Dark Zelda, but I only saw the direct one time. That was all I needed, and I didn't perfectly commit it to memory. But suffice it to say, you get alternate versions of Link and Zelda. Yeah. You get Skull Kid and Impa as new playable characters, and they have different weapons that they can use, so it's going to add a little bit more variety to your gameplay if that's the game that you like. I just didn't. You also get a couple other characters that I don't recognize from a Zelda game. If they are from a Zelda game, they're pretty obscure. Otherwise, they're either original characters or characters from a previous Cadence game. So,
yeah, I think there's definitely a combination, I think, there. But I think most of the enemies are designed specifically after, at least loosely designed from different Zelda enemies, just based on what I can see.
Yeah. So the game is has its appeal. Yeah. I know there's a lot of people who really enjoy it. And so for those people, I'm glad that it's there. I'm glad that they're continuing to support the game. And in the general sense, I like that Nintendo loosened their ironclad grip on the Zelda license to allow a company like this to make this game. So in that way, I'm glad I supported it. Mm-hmm. But I just don't find it at all fun.
Interesting that they used one of their top-tier franchises to have this test.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it paid off. So here's hoping that we see the same kind of thing with Metroid down the line. I know that was a rumor that we'd see something Metroid-related during the Direct. I can't remember if it was supposed to be Image and Form that was working on a Metroid game, or there was another company. I mean, honestly, the good folks behind the upcoming Silk Song.
Oh, is that man. Team Cherry? Yeah, Team Cherry. That's what I was hoping Metroid for. License. Yeah, man, that would be awesome. Because we did talk about this in a previous podcast where I really struggle with Metroid-style games because I get lost so easily. But that, in some way, for some reason, became part of the charm of Hollow Knight, is getting lost in this fully immersive world with these little bugs. I just wanted to know everything. I wanted to crawl every corner of this world. And every time I found something, and every time I got lost, I got rewarded. They really encouraged exploration in a way that kept me wanting to play. And I put in over 100 hours in that game. Yeah. I 112%ed it, which is not even completing it, because I guess the DLC put you over 100%. But the game was awesome, and I'm really, really ready for more. So I was hoping that when they said our third-party partners, given that we had gameplay at last E3 from Silksong. I was like, it's been a year. They did have gameplay. It's probably about time for that game. But who knows? Who knows how much Team Cherry was affected by the whole virus situation in terms of putting the finishing touches on their development. And they definitely have a reputation for cramming as much as they possibly can into their games. And they're probably utilizing every last minute that they have to get in as much as possible. And the game's going to be amazing. But I was really hoping for that. And that would have definitely been something I would have gotten excited about.
So before we move on to the next game, I do want to ask you something about Zelda. Have you seen the first for figures Majora's Mask that just got announced? It's coming out in October.
It's an actual like wearable Majora's Mask.
It's not really wearable. It's slightly smaller than actual size, but just slightly. But it lights up. It has LEDs. The eyes glow. It has motion sensors in it. I was curious if you were going to pick that thing up.
Probably not, because I'm in Taiwan.
That's perfect. That's where they're made.
Is it really?
It's well, I think they get shipped from Hong Kong.
Then maybe there's. There's definitely been some effects in, or the supply chain rather to Taiwan has definitely been affected.
Yeah.
But in a very unpredictable way. So I don't really, it's like stuff just randomly appears at various times. I know those Lego sets are coming out in a couple months. I'm not sure if they're going to be here day and date with when the American release
they
are.
They come out here in 8 days.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to be on the lookout for those. We do have some Lego, dedicated Lego stores, but I'm not really super expecting them to be there. Like, even Ring Fit got released 2 weeks later. Yep. So we have different release dates. And because I can't read anything, as I mentioned earlier, I don't generally know when release dates are. So if I try to look it up, for example, online, things about Taiwanese release dates generally are written in Chinese.
Got it.
Which makes it very hard for me to disseminate. So if I see the mask, it would be hard for me to turn it down. I'll put it that way.
Good to know. And I do have to point out, I had every Lego set in my hands today. In my cart.
What?
There were... So I went to Target today, and they had them out. All of them. And there was 8 sets. Actually, I have a photo, so I can actually show. There's sets I've never even seen announced.
What?
So, one sec. We have... Where is it? Oh, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 total. One being the main set. We had a Boo house, which was just gorgeous. Amazing. There was Monty Mole. There was a Koopa Troopa. There was a Toad house. There was Yoshi's house. I have all 3 of the costumes. I was so excited. I had probably $500 worth of Lego in my cart.
I was going to ask you, what would you estimate the total take-home on that?
It would between $350 at the lowest and $500 at the highest, I think. And that's not even including Bowser's Castle. They did not have it there.
Oh, but is it also releasing on the day? They just didn't have it?
Supposedly, yes. I was shocked there was this many on day one. And there's blind bags coming out, too. So that's dangerous.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that.
So I got up to the register. I went to self-checkout just to be sure because I knew it was early. So I do the little beep, and then immediately a red light comes on overhead, and somebody comes running over, and they're like, oh, we can't sell you these yet. And my day was ruined.
You know what? I love that you still tried.
I
tried. Even after all these amiibo.
And I don't, honestly, I don't even want them all that much. I wanted to do video content on them. And I figure if I can get them 2 weeks early, at least it would give me some kind of leg up if I wanted to do a video.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I am going to pick them all up.
All of them?
All of them. And it's not because I like them. I think they're okay. Yeah. But I can see very easily that this... My kids are the perfect age for this. And it would appeal to all of them. They're all, not surprisingly, huge Nintendo fans. And it's right. My kids are 3 to 7, so they're like right in the range where I think they could all enjoy this. And they all like building, and they all like putting stuff together. They all like technology, and this kind of just checks all the boxes.
Yeah, I want to pick up a couple sets, just not all of them. So I want Bowser's Castle and the starter set for sure. I'll probably pick up some of the blind bags, but I think that's about it. But
to go back to that Majora's Mask thing, I had the trailer playing here, and I'm not going to look for it, but if I find it, I don't think I could resist it.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's coming out supposedly sometime in October, so I'll let you know for sure on that. Obviously, the biggest game in the Direct was WWE 2K Battlegrounds.
Yes.
Which is obviously everybody's favorite game. They've all been waiting for this one.
There's definitely a legacy of good wrestling games on Nintendo systems. I remember, I'm gonna mess up this name because it's too many letters, but like,
ECW
versus NWO.
Oh, N64. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, that game looks so dumb.
Oh, WCW versus NWO.
Yeah, WCW versus NWO. I put an unbelievable number of countless hours into that game. That game was so fun, and it was so fun to play with people, and it was so easy to explain to other people how to play that it was super addictive. And I kept coming back to it. And then another game came out relatively close to that, I think, called maybe WWF Attitude.
Yeah, for the 64,
And it had a lot more to it. Like, you could customize your character. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'm in this. But it was a totally different game. And it was not as easy to play, and it was not as fun. And I immediately fell off, and I never bought another wrestling game. But looking at this one that they announced in this mini direct, I like that the characters look like who they are, but also have deliberately stylish proportions.
Yeah.
So they don't look like real humans. They just are human-like. And I like that they're mixing all different generations of wrestlers together. Andre the Giant is a big standout to me because he was probably the biggest name in wrestling when I was young.
Yeah.
Up there with Hulk Hogan. But I never really was super big into the wrestling scene other than that I love choreographed combat and I am really into like fitness and body sculpting. So you got like some of the fittest guys in the world at the time looking at the original, I say original, but it predates these, of course. But from my childhood, the WWF wrestlers, like Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan, those and company. So to kind of bring all these eras together, like John Cena versus Andre the Giant is amazing. And I can definitely see that there's an audience for that. I'm just not that audience, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I was the biggest WWF fan back in the day. I mean, it was the perfect storm for me. Like, I was 13, and it was Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock and Sable. Remember Sable?
Is that a woman?
Everybody loves Sable. He was the first, like, WWF person in Playboy, and...
Oh.
Kids were trying to sneak a look at that stuff when I was, like, 13 and 14. I might pick this up, actually, and, you know, I kind of mentioned this as a joke, but it does look kind of fun.
I think so, too. I just don't know. It kind of gives me like a Smash Brothers type vibe, but I would rather just play Smash Brothers, I think.
No, that makes sense. I mean, besides that, I mean, the mini direct had something about a game called Rogue Company, which looks like it's a third-person shooter. Looks okay.
That just had, I don't know, maybe it's me and my overly discriminating taste, but that just had no appeal to me. I was like completely zoned out.
It looks generic. I'm going to butcher this name. Atelier Ryza 2 Lost Legends and the Fairy Secret.
Approved.
And the Secret Fairy, whatever, something like that. That game's coming. Not for me.
It is.
I know some people are excited about it.
Was that in the trailer?
That was in the Japanese trailer.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't see anything like that.
So, that was it. I mean, honestly, I think the big news about the Direct was it was barely a Direct. Nintendo was very clear with us in the tweet what to expect.
Uh-huh.
I'm surprised they went with the route of calling it a Direct. Somebody mentioned their thoughts that it could have been contractual, where
that's interesting.
Nintendo had something set up to say, hey, exclusively announce this during a Direct with us, and they had to live up to that contract.
I want to believe that, because that makes sense, because all of these announcements, every one of them, would have been better as a standalone trailer. If they just would have released the trailer on its own, then it would not have gotten as many eyeballs, for sure, because Nintendo Direct garners interest. It generates hype, but it also has blowback when people are disappointed. And I kind of don't understand so much the entitlement attitude where Nintendo's like, hey, we've got an announcement, tune in at this time.
Yeah.
And then people get upset about the announcement, like they're owed something. It's just like any other business operation. If they make things that you like, support it with your money. If they don't make things that you like, don't buy it.
Yeah.
Just like all four of these games that were in the direct, I'm not going to spend any money on any of them. I already bought Cadence of Hyrule, but I'm not interested in the update. I don't want to play the wrestling game. I'm not going to play the third person shooter, and I am not about to jump into Shin Megami Tensei.
Yeah.
So it wasn't for me. I watch it and I'm like, I don't know why they. My first thought was, people are going to be so mad. People are going to be so irrationally upset about this Direct, because we're starved for Nintendo information. Paper Mario just released, and so there's no first party titles on the horizon. We know a few that have where the development has been announced, but we have no more release dates. Yeah. So we don't know what the rest of 2020 looks like. People were expecting to have something to look forward to, and this did not deliver on that front, and that makes people mad. So I don't know what Nintendo... They don't owe anybody anything, but at the same time, I don't see what they had to gain from this, unless, as you said, there was some sort of contractual obligation. Yeah. And obviously everything's in complete disarray because of the dissolution of E3, where this probably would have easily been plugged into some middle padded section of an E3 presentation, because these are not showstoppers. These are not system sellers. These are like little bite-sized morsels for the interested parties.
Yeah.
Maybe Shin Megami Tensei is a bigger
title. Yeah, I think Shin Megami Tensei is bigger than you and I can see.
I know it's big, but I also know that it's niche. It's totally niche.
So is Persona niche?
Maybe it was. I think it's kind of come a little bit more mainstream.
I mean, Persona is Shin Megami Tensei. It's just a spinoff.
Except
one's much darker.
and one doesn't have as big of a presence in the West.
That's true.
So it's not that the game isn't good, and it's not that it doesn't have its fan base. But I think if you go up to the average 10-year-old and say, hey, what's this game? They'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And the adult gaming market is certainly very big, but I don't even know that I would venture to say that it's even half of Nintendo's projected revenue. I think maybe like the under 18 might be the lion's share of Nintendo's business.
Yeah.
Obviously, adults are paying for it, but and this is my own speculation. I don't have any information on this. But I think Nintendo, at least half of their business is from kids.
Yeah.
And many of those kids maybe aren't even of a reading age. So who's going to play a game that is super text heavy?
I don't know. Nintendo likes to put the text in.
I know. Speaking of chatty games, I have put a little bit of time into Paper Mario.
Which I'm curious your thoughts on. So
you want to transition?
I do, and I do have one other game I want to talk about real quick, actually, before you do. And this will be a 2-minute discussion. Let's because it's not even confirmed to be coming out for Nintendo. But it is no secret that I am obsessed with a game called Jet Set Radio, or Jet Grind Radio in the U.S.
Why have I never heard of it?
Are you serious?
Yeah, never heard of this game.
Jet Grind Radio is a Dreamcast game. They also had a sequel on the Xbox. And you are a graffiti artist on rollerblades that rides through a city and needs to tag turf. Mm. And there is some absolutely amazing music. It is one of my favorite video games of all time. It is a blast. The soundtrack's amazing. And it's an absolute cult classic. And people have been begging Sega for years to make a new one, and for some reason they decided not to. But a third party, an indie company by the name of Team Reptile, announced today a game coming out called Bomb Rush Cyberfunk, which is almost identical in gameplay to Jet Grind Radio. It looks like it's got the same style. You tag things, has an amazing sounding soundtrack. In fact, it looks like Jet Set Radio's composer, Jet Set Radio, again, has a absolutely amazing Japanese composer. His name is Hideki Naganuma. I should know that more. But he's going to be putting out the music for this too. So it's exciting stuff. If you're a fan of Jet Grind Radio or Jet Set Radio Future on the Xbox, take a look at the Bomb Rush Cyberfunk trailer. It's really short. It's 15 seconds long. It's coming out sometime 2021. And here's hoping it comes out on the Switch, because this is something on like the highest of my priority lists right now. And for you, TJ,
wow.
I strongly suggest just watch a trailer of Jet Set Radio or Jet Grind Radio and tell me your thoughts on it, because it's an absolute blast of a game.
Well, Dreamcast is why I missed it then,
yeah.
Because I did get a Dreamcast, but under the weirdest of circumstances after it was discontinued. I worked at Toys R Us, and there was a raffle to get rid of the demo one.
Yeah. And you won it?
My little brother did. So I played Shenmue for about 10 minutes, and I was like, nope. And that's about the extent of my experience with Dreamcast.
All right, TJ, I'm so ready.
I will check it out.
I am ready for you to wow me with your thoughts on Paper Mario.
All right, this isn't going to wow anybody, but I was not certain about my feelings on the game, particularly because Paper Mario doesn't have any consistent battle mechanics throughout the series, and I wasn't sure that I could really handle something like the card game that you got in Color Splash or something like that, and I have not actually played a Paper Mario since Thousand Year Door, which I never finished, and I could tell when I was playing Thousand Year Door, I'm like, this game is special. There's something about this game, and I have no motivation to finish it. So I put maybe 20 hours into it, and with respect, I put it away forever. So I got maybe 15 hours into this one. I just bought it on a whim on the day it released because it was my first day in my new apartment, and my kids were tired and fatigued, and I thought that this would be something to kind of energize the family, just a little bit of a pick-me-up. And the game is chatty, but the upside of that is it's very well-written and extremely funny. You find Toads everywhere. If you watch the trailer or the Nintendo Treehouse presentation, you know about the Toad Hunt.
Yeah.
It's kind of appropriate, I would say, to compare it to finding Koroks. If Koroks said witty and sassy banter when you found them. So you do kind of look forward to it. Sometimes it feels like you can't take two steps without a Toad appearing. And they don't all appear in the same form, just like the Koroks, where sometimes you have to smash a bug, sometimes you have to hit a tree. Yeah. Sometimes there's a little piece of a Toad sticking out of something and you have to pull them out. So there's all kinds of different ways, and they definitely make it feel like paper is intrinsic to the world, which I like. I don't really like when an art style is arbitrary. Like the Lego movie, I know this is a little bit of a side tangent, but I'll circle it back around. The Lego movie made the fact that these characters were Legos important, and that made that movie, I feel, magical. Then the Batman Lego movie, it was just a Batman movie with Lego characters. The fact that they were Legos was irrelevant, so I felt like it was way less effective. But in this Paper Mario, the fact that they're paper is central to the plot. And a lot of the objects that you have to interact with and a lot of the main driving story has to do with paper being folded. So I like that they took the paper motif and they really, really tripled down on it. So that I have an appreciation for. And because the story has RPG, or the series has RPG elements, I think people automatically lump this game into the RPG category, but I don't really think it's an RPG game at all. I think it's more of a puzzle game.
That's what I was thinking too.
And for that reason, I think it sticks to me a little more. Because our RPG turns me off in a lot of ways, but I really do like puzzles. And even though I'm really bad at the battle mechanic in this game, where you basically have a board that is a circular board, and you just shift characters either vertically along the different rings of the bullseye. Mario's at the center of the bullseye, basically, and you can shift the rings left or right, or forward and back, and you only have limited number of moves that you can do it in, and you're also timed. At first, I found it really kind of frustrating because my brain is not good at it. I will be the first to admit I'm terrible at it. I look at that board and I'm like, I don't know how to stack these guys. You either need to put people in a straight line or put them in clumps of four. So you want to make a straight line or a square. And my daughter is like weirdly savant at it. She looks at it. She's like, yeah, you just got to do this and that. And I'm like, ah. She's like, Dad, just do it. I'm like, I can't. I got like three more seconds. Dad, can you not see it? I'm like, no, I can't see it. But as you progress a little bit more into the game, you have opportunities to practice it. They teach you the mechanics a little bit more. I don't think it's much of a spoiler to say that early in the game you can unlock a Toad battle training ground. And the soundtrack is amazing. Yeah. You get this little track that sounds exactly like any Rocky montage. So immediately it was on my wavelength. and you can practice all the battle things. You can practice the timing for your jumps to get the super special bonus if you push A at the right time or B at the right time for defense, just like the other games in the series. And then you also get to practice the puzzles in kind of like a rush mode. And so I got a lot better at the puzzles once I had a chance to do that, yeah. And I started to understand it a little bit better, and I would say consequently enjoyed a lot more. I would say on the TJ scale of quality Mario games, I'm still entertained by it. 15 hours in, I want to keep playing it. I think about it a lot. When I have free time, my mind gravitates towards the game. I'm hoping that it's a game that's under 40 hours.
Yeah.
I've been taking my time. I heard that maybe some people can beat it in 30 hours, but I'm generally not that fast because I usually meander around. I'm well known on the internet, for those who follow me, for not being particularly fond of Mario Odyssey. Mario Odyssey, I was bored from start to finish. So I would say that if on TJ's scale of entertainment, Mario Odyssey is like a 10 out of 100, I would say so far this game's like a 65-70. Yeah. It's enough to keep me wanting to play for now. And I know some people have criticized it, saying that the battle mechanics wear thin and the game gets repetitive. I haven't really faced that yet, except maybe I'm more entertained by the mundane tasks of collecting toads and hitting things with a hammer and throwing confetti. Everything is very satisfying to do. Like, it feels good to do everything. It's nice to throw the confetti. It's nice to smash stuff with the hammer. You can smash everything with the hammer. You can hit the toads and they fold,
yeah.
And there's no consequence. It's nice to see the ongoing, the reoccurring, I don't know what you'd call it, but throughout the Mario series, Paper Mario series, they blur the lines between characters who traditionally play a villain role and characters who are a hero. And so they do that in this one also, where if a character is paper, basically they're a good guy.
Yeah.
So you have Monty Moles and Koopa Troopas and Goombas who are good guys because they're made of paper. And then you also have those same characters who are bad guys because they're origami. So that puts kind of an interesting spin on it. It's nice to hear Goombas kind of reveal their feelings about Mario. There's this Goomba fanboy,
yeah,
that you meet really early in the game. So for people who can read, I'd say the game is really great. My daughter loves it. She can read in two languages. And my sons can't read at all, but they still like just smashing stuff with a hammer. So who doesn't? So I would say if you're of a reading age, the game has quite a bit of appeal. If you're younger than that, you probably fall off it pretty quick.
Yeah.
Although if you're an advanced RPG player, maybe you'll be bored. But if you're a dum-dum like me and you just want to go around, hit stuff with a hammer, throw confetti at things, and try to solve elementary puzzles, then maybe you'll have fun with it like I do.
Well, I'm planning on picking this up as soon as I'm done with Thousand Year Door. So hopefully it'll be worth the wait. I've heard there's actually some emotional scenes in this game too. So I'm curious to see what that looks like.
Mm. I'd be surprised if this game could touch me on an emotional level. It's super, very superficial,
yeah,
in terms of the emotions. But you do have this one little scene where you're trying to recruit and like a party member.
Yeah.
And the party member is like, no, I don't know. I'm not that good. I probably wouldn't really be able to help you very much. And so Olivia, who's your like little paper follow around, she's like your Cappy or your Navi,
yeah,
if you will. And she's like, yeah, you make a lot of good points. You're probably right. Never mind. So you get a lot of stuff like that where the game has a lot of heart from the witty repartee, yeah, that the characters have. But I don't know that it really can make me feel. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe I'm just a bitter, stone-cold old man, but...
Could be.
If it brings tears to my eyes, like Breath of the Wild did, I cried like 5 times in Breath of the, yeah, Wild, and it wasn't like weeping, sobbing tears. It was just so much...
It was overwhelming.
So overwhelming. Yeah, it was so overwhelming. Like, when I had a dragon fly right over my head, I was... Like, my breath caught in my throat, and snot dripped from my nose, and tears flowed from my eyes, and it was just kind of uncontrollable how overwhelmed I was by it. And at the same time, I realized this is ridiculous that this is affecting me so much and I don't care. But if Paper Mario does that, wow, Nintendo, good job.
I look forward to it. I truly do. TJ, where can the good folks at home find you?
You can track me down on Twitter if you want to hear about some Nintendo stuff at Custom Conquest. If you are a little bit more interested into my modeling exploits, you can follow me on Instagram at ForeverFitnessTJ.
He's on the gram.
I'm on the gram. I don't really talk about it too much because it's very different content from the Nintendo stuff, but I've been putting more effort into that lately. No, there's not a whole lot of thirsty picks.
Oh, man. Well, if you're looking for me, you can find me over at NintendoWire.com. Our newly verified Nintendo Wire YouTube channel. We got the check mark.
Woohoo! Congratulations.
My personal Twitter account is at AmiiboJason, and you can find me at the other Twitter accounts at Amiibo News, which is putting out content again because we have Amiibo to talk about, and at NinWire. So I think that's it. So as always, until next time, stay wired in.
Thanks for playing.